Five of the amendments talks about employees being part of the Oregon Public Employees Retirement System. And then it says, or as employees under a similar retirement system provided by the state of Washington. What kind of language does the state of Washington have?
Basically, the same language.
So it names their particular employees retirement system and then says, or a similar system in Oregon.
Or a similar system in Oregon. I think the rationale behind that is that it allows us the flexibility then to determine in setting up the commission just how we will employ those commission members. I might use as an example the existing commission, the two existing Gorge commissions, the Oregon Gorge Commission and the Washington Gorge Commission, maintain a joint office and staff. That staff is our Washington State employees and are subject to the Washington State retirement system. Oregon, by a joint operating agreement, funds half of that cost. So essentially, for a sense of convenience and administrative ease, we've made Washington the fiscal agent for the two existing Gorge Commission's operations. Something very similar will probably be done for this commission as well.
I was just wondering if we maybe shouldn't specify the name of the Washington system, but words or similar to disturb me because I can think of some litigation that we might be subject to. If an employee, say, wanted to compare the other benefit plans that an employee might, under this statutory language, say, well, the Washington plan isn't good enough, it's just similar enough from the Oregon. That concerns me just a little bit. So, Representative Jones.
I guess I probably should ask you this. Are our other commission members, are they subject to the retirement and all that? The OPE that goes with.
Oh, no, commission members are unpaid except for the travel reimbursement. We're talking about staff that are.
Is this referring to the commission members or
staff? No, just the staff. It says the commission may designate its employees.
As employees.
As employees, and the commission as an employer. So. They would be covered by. Is that right, Jack?
That's correct. Right. Providing compensation for
right.
Well, commission members in addition to the expenses.
Right. On that, but actually, there's quite a lot more to that if you're going to be under PERS and all the other fringe benefits that go with an employee.
That would not affect commission.
Costly.
Yes, it does not affect commission members. Would affect, as this bill proposes, the staff hired by it. But it just explained to us that the current commission does have staff who, in this case, are funded by the state of Washington, but the state of Oregon reimburses it, including the benefits.
That's correct.
Chairman. Senator Hannon. Excuse me.
Then the employees, are there going to be a portion of the employees hired by the state of Washington, or there's a portion going to be hired by the state of Oregon, or what was the method to determine who has jurisdiction over the employees, if they're joint employees or who?
The bill allows us the flexibility to make commission staff either state of Oregon employees or state of Washington employees, and I think as we begin to set this program up, that decision will be made as an administrative process. It's difficult to foresee whether or not they would be state of Oregon or state of Washington employees. I think it would be desirable to make all commission members employees of one state or the other simply to reduce administrative costs. We have found that by using one state as a fiscal agent for the commission, that we avoid additional accounting costs or administrative costs from the other state. The other state simply then falls back into a reimbursement mode.
Before we start talking about employees, where is the commission going to be located? Has that decision been discussed?
That decision has not yet been made. The existing commission's office is in the state of Washington. And certainly I think it would make some sense if the office were located in Oregon to move that those perhaps those administrative functions to Oregon. But it will be up to that new commission to determine where, in fact, its office will be located.
The commission themselves, actually,
please,
Senator,
say your name for the record.
They choose.
Your name, please.
I'm Annie Warren, Chairman, Oregon Commission. Sorry, I'm late, gentlemen. Existing commission.
No, there is an existing commission that is in place now.
Has been since 1953, sir.
And that's consisting of what, county commissioners?
Chosen by the governor. Five representatives. Three must come from the three counties contained within the legal description of the Gorge, Wasco, Hood River, and Multnomah. One from each, and two at large, chosen to serve three-year terms by the existing, at the present governor.
But I mean, they are the ones that's going to make the decision on where this is going to
no,
be placed.
The new commission will make that choice themselves, amongst themselves.
Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to find out. The new commissioners then will make the policy decision.
The new commissioners will make the decision on where the office will be located and will also be responsible for appointing staff.
Okay. How large of a staff is there currently? And how much would be anticipated under this budget?
Current commission staff is two positions. Proposed under this budget is six.
What's the additional positions? Planners?
The additional positions are planners and an information officer and one clerical position.
And an administrative assistant.
We have an administrative assistant
now.
Now, I guess is what we're saying. If we're comparing to what we have now to what we have proposed.
Some of those planning functions are going to be what, carried on by local units of government, but the commission staff would be able to coordinate some of those plans. Trying to find out, is there really justification for the increase if we're going to be working with existing levels of government that's already in place?
The federal act provides certain responsibilities for the commission. Those are the preparation of a management plan, including inventorying scenic, natural, cultural, economic resources, all land uses, preparing recreational assessments and economic opportunity studies, developing a system of land use designations for the Columbia River Gorge, preparing land use standards for that area. That would all be prepared by the commission in consultation with the Forest Service. So there's a fairly extensive planning type workload that commission has to bear. In addition to the preparation of the management plan, the commission also has the responsibility, once it's formed, to review most new land use proposals for consistency with the act. So there would be a land use review function going on simultaneously with the preparation of the management plan. That's the basic requirement for which we have suggested two land use planning positions. The additional position, an information officer, is one that we have included to conduct the public participation efforts in the management planning process and to provide information to the public as to what is happening under this bill so that they are fully aware of the process that's going on.
Is there a plan already in place? You said it's been in existence. Commission's been in existence since 53.
Right.
Got it.
Pardon me?
A management plan is in place, but the present commission hasn't the authority with which to enforce anything upon local governments or local planning areas, districts, whatever.
But the local governments get to adopt the ordinance. I mean, you're not ordering them to.
No.
Okay. The language.
They can do so now. Whether they choose to do so or not is not always. That doesn't always happen.
I think I'd like to make sure I understand your question. Currently, the existing commissions are advisory only, working with local jurisdictions and state agencies and making recommendations to them. Those agencies are free to either accept those recommendations or reject them. Under this new act, those local jurisdictions do not have that option. They are provided the management plan by that commission, And they are given that opportunity to incorporate that management plan in their local ordinances. But if they choose not to do so, the commission assumes land use responsibility within that jurisdiction.
How would you anticipate it really working, though?
I would anticipate that the local jurisdictions will revise their...
Can the division working cooperatively with them throughout the process and in the development of that management plan?
Absolutely, yes.
What kind of vehicle is within this bill or within the budget to assist in that process?
Assist in the...
Coordination with local government.
Essentially, the staffing and the information officer position would be used to maintain a direct liaison with local jurisdictions. We're also relying upon local jurisdictions to provide technical assistance to that commission in terms of providing information on land use and land use ordinances that they currently have in place.
Okay. You're relying on local governments to provide technical assistance. We'll discuss that further when we get to the budget. Further questions? We have some other people to hear from, and we'll be back to you when we open the budget bill up. Are there other members from the commission who'd like to testify? Sir.
Well, I'm Benny DiBenedetto. I'm one of the commissioners from Oregon, plus a native Oregon. And if you have any questions that you might have, either Mann or myself, Mann has served many years than I have on the commission, and it's been a worthwhile commission. And we've gotten some wonderful support from the legislative group in the past years.
And you like this bill very much and would like us to pass it?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Like
Senator Weiners.
Thank you. I didn't catch the beginning of this, what your position is.
I am the director of the Oregon and Washington Columbia River Gorge Commissions, the commissions that will be essentially terminated if this new bi-state commission is authorized.
You've mentioned land use planning a number of times. How do you understand the way the current land use planning law will articulate, state law will articulate with this federal act?
I think what we have is a situation where there will likely be some redundancy in both planning and appeals processes as established under the federal act and what is currently in place under Oregon's land use system. Currently, this bill does not address those and would not in any way alter LCDC's roles and responsibilities under state law within the Columbia River Gorge. My understanding is that the governor's office is looking at how to accommodate the Oregon land use system within the Columbia River Gorge under this particular act, seeing how the federal act will address Oregon's interest in land use, determining where there are deficiencies within this act, and then trying to make some adjustments to ensure that the state's interests are protected, but also at the same time to avoid any redundancy that we would be subjecting local jurisdictions to in terms of the planning process.
So that's something the governor is looking at for the possible legislative recommendations for the future.
That would be a separate piece of
legislation. Is what we understand.
But the way you understand it now is that the federal act did not in any way modify, strengthen, or weaken state land use planning laws in Oregon.
It does not modify those laws. It may, as a matter of being a federal law, supersede in if it sets a higher standard than the existing state law. Yes.
So it could articulate, depending on the degree of cooperation you all exercise, it could work very nicely.
Yes,
if you're working very nicely with counties,
exactly.
All these CDC is looking at what you're doing. You develop this management plan, and it kind of automatically moves into ordinance. Plan amendment shouldn't be any problem if you're able to cooperate.
Yeah,
I think it's important, yeah, to go back again to one of the basic premises behind this bill, is that this is to be a partnership, and I think that that partnership is contingent upon cooperation of the many existing agencies, yeah, in the Columbia River Gorge in terms of their management roles, and involving them in that planning process.
Good. I like to hear those words, cooperation. It's better than the threatening kind of words that, you know, could be said, but I didn't hear any today. Okay. One other thing, maybe we'd like to change that, the word similar, again, as it applies to employee benefits plans in retirement. Again, this word similar words, so we can maybe specify or under Washington law or cite their statute.
I would see no problem in doing that whatsoever.
Okay. The appropriate people signed up to testify, and I can't read that from here.
Get him. I think it's Patrick Brothers, sir.
Okay.
Thank you,
Patrick Brothers.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have just a little handout here, if I might be able to pass it around to you. Two things here. One just came up this morning, and the other is about 4 o'clock this morning. My name is Patrick Brothers, and I'm representing the Northeast Multnomah County Community Association. NEMCA is an organization that's been in Northeast Multnomah County area representing residents and developing community activities and support groups since about 1948. We're probably best known, certainly visually, for our operation and maintenance of the Vista House up at Crown Point, which we staffed with volunteers, but we're involved in many other things in the community. We wanted to express our support for enabling legislation and the funding of the program so we can get things underway and get an operational bill going at this point in time. We have some concerns, and we'd like to point them out. We feel that these are possible modifications which could benefit us from the standpoint of the state of Oregon, and some possible oversights, including the federal bill, which could blend into enabling legislation quite well to clarify problem areas that have occurred or questions that have arisen in the past. I'm going to just paraphrase kind of what I have in here rather than going through point by point, rather than reading to you and try and cite an example that somewhat summarizes it. But one of our biggest concerns is the issue of economic impact. Anybody that lives out there is concerned about the potential economic impact on those of us that are residents. And we are concerned that any plan that's developed does fit into the state plan for the state of Oregon. So we request that some wording be provided within the enabling legislation to clarify at this point in time that the state of Oregon, the Economic Development Department, would have review and oversight evaluation of the economic impact report to ensure that it does comply with the plan. Educational system requirements. We've got an issue or a problem, of course, relative to tax bases. A lot of the rumors that were being generated around the gorge early on had to deal with condemnation of property and so on and so forth. A lot of those things have been put to rest. But we're dealing with a specific problem or some specific areas or specific concerns in the Corbett area, in the Northeast Multnomah County area, where we have an extremely high tax base there. Our rates are some of the highest in the state of Oregon. I myself am paying close to 28 per thousand, and I don't even have a fire department. So we're looking at areas potentially from the standpoint of acquired land, increasing those taxes because the federal bill does not provide adequate funds to replace those lost revenues to the school district or to the fire district. In fact, our local fire district does provide backup and an initial response for fire coverage to the gates of the Columbia Gorge area.
Mr. Chairman,
Chair Wise,
before I get way behind, could I ask a question?
Sure.
How is the Gorge Act going to cut your local property tax revenues?
Two ways. And I think particularly when we're talking about this, one certainly is the acquisition of land, but that's relatively minor. Although there are some large areas such as the mill at Bridalveil that are potentially targeted for acquisition. I don't know what the current status of that is. That's a major economic base from a tax rate standpoint. There's a lot of us that are out there relatively rural. That's a minor problem. There's a more pronounced overriding problem that has to do with probably an oversight in the development of the Gorge Bill, and that has to do with the issues of boundaries and the definition of the areas within the plan. There's the overall defined scenic area. Within that, there's special management areas, scenic areas, now called general areas, and urban areas. The Corbett happens to be in the scenic area. It's the Corbett School District that supplies, meets the requirements of part of that area. Typical examples of some of the problems or errors was the city of Troutdale, an incorporated city, has part of its area within a special management area. Yet, it meets all the criteria of an urban area. It should be an urban area, but Troutdale is special management. Technically, no development can occur. The town of Springdale is located on the Columbia Gorge Scenic Highway. It's located right between Troutdale and Corbett, yet it's not even in the scenic area. It's in no area. Corbett itself is included within the scenic area, yet it's larger than three of, on the Washington side, five of the urban areas are unincorporated. Three of those are smaller than Corbett. The Corbett phone directory, and this is some information we got from the local phone company, has listings right now of approximately 108 commercial and industrial listings. That's in the greater Corbett area, admittedly, but they do tie to that community. This issue, we have an existing industrial base. It's cottage industry. But with the bill, we cannot replace any businesses as they disappear, as they move on. Industrial-based businesses cannot go in there. Well, the issue could be raised, well, tourism. You're on the Columbia Gorge Highway. The fact is Corbett, because of its location, is not a good site for tourism. There have been studies, people wanting to build restaurants in the Corbett area, and they could not do it just because the base wasn't there. We may support a small trailer court with a laundry on it that's used by some of the local residents and stuff, which is in fact there. But there are really no base for Corbett to continue to replace lost revenues as businesses go by if you figure an economic, a business life cycle of 5 years or so. I think what will help to explain, I should emphasize it more, is a case in point. And the Foster, Shirley and Jack Foster, come from a pioneer stock family, settled in Corbett in the mid to late 19th century. And the family have had property there for years. It was the Pounder family. They had oil service, realty, so on and so forth in the area. Shirley and Jack both went to school at Oregon State, graduated with honors. He with a PhD in engineering, and true to unfortunate form, moved to California to seek their fortune. They now want to come back to the area and bring back their cottage business. They have a, it's basically high tech, it's medical laser, it's small, relatively unobtrusive. They're looking for 20 to 30 people. The existing site had been reviewed by LCDC, they've been reviewed by Planning Commission, so on and so forth. It's just the building permit was never really pulled on the project. They want to come in and put in Corbett, this business. Its major sales are located in Pacific Rim companies. They're doing a lot of testing in Japan with the medical technology, and interested in coming home. Under the current legislation, the way it's written, there is no way they can come back to Corbett. So I think what I'm really trying to get to, and on the last page of what I have from the handout, is really some provisions we'd like to see from the Naval League legislation. And to be quite honest with you, I had requested but not yet received a copy of the legislation. But these are things we would be interested in seeing. One is that any economic study be reviewed by the state of Oregon to show that there is some parallelism, some consistency with the governor's plan for economic recovery. That the education system within the gorge be identified specifically in the enabling legislation to clarify any potential problems as to how the economic situation could be forced upon communities could jeopardize that educational system for those of us that are residents of the gorge. That the commission is to build on existing resources rather than supporting or developing competing resources. This has to do with such situations, for example, I can give you a real example. There's been, of course, discussion of building in Washington a convention area, and there's a lot of concern coming from a group in Hood River who recently acquired a facility there in direct competition, being in direct competition with them. And initially, which would help resolve a lot of these problems, go and take a look at the plan and the boundaries and the definitions of those areas to come up with a plan which actually reflects the uses of areas, scenic areas, the Corbett issue, the Springdale issue, the Troutdale issue just happened to be in northeast Multnomah County, and therefore we're very familiar with it. Finally, one other thing that's come up, and it was raised at the time that the President signed the bill, is the issue of some of the constitutionality factors, and hopefully that could be identified and specifically budgeted for an investigation and determination of that constitutional issue. Might as well get it resolved up front rather than waiting for sometime down the road to end up with a legal challenge or something like that. That's
Your group can sue if it likes.
Well, we had no intention.
Why should we pay
that.
For that?
No. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this group trying to get funding to clarify those issues before somebody else raises them.
There are $60,000 budgeted.
It is.
In
okay,
here for
I have
general,
not.
For
a gen- not
Attorney General fees, and I suppose they're anticipating some questions.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Essentially, one other thing, just as an aside, and it's the newspaper article that it really frosted me when I saw this morning. Here we are with a fellow that's trying to build a business and bring it to Corbett. The Forest Service and Multnomah County are proposing a facility in the scenic area on Larch Mountain, I assume it's in the scenic area, without any review through the Gorge Commission, to provide a facility to take care of 145 felons. Admittedly, it's a work program, which is fine, and that's a different issue from a resident standpoint. No review necessary. They're talking about beginning this thing, and yet we can't, local people can't get a business put in to hire 20. And it's a real concern of mine, and I think that we're getting a raw shake on the deal. We would like to be
Multnomah County Commission decision.
Pardon?
It's a Multnomah County Commission decision.
We would like
you can't
to
even have a place for your prodigal son. Was it, what son was it? The one that went away and then came back in the Bible.
The prodigal.
Yeah, the prodigal
you
son.
Can't even have a place for him to lie his head on the manger. Or whatever they now
in any event. We really do want to be involved from a community standpoint. We look
just
forward
grandiose.
To
just grandiose.
Some participation. And we feel that it's necessary to get things moving, to get some enabling legislation done. We are concerned that some of these things that have been discussed in the past and we've been given assurances, oh no, that's not really what we meant, are becoming more cast in concrete. And frankly, it scares me that the problems in the bill out of necessity, okay, you're dealing with this huge area and how do you identify Corbett out of umpteen million acres? But, so those of us who live in the area, it's a serious problem. And we would like to be involved, and we would like to work with any
right, well, I appreciate your attitude and the approach you've taken. The bill really doesn't get into the level of detail that you're talking about. It really just establishes the commission. There is a section that directs all state agencies to help the commission carry out the respective functions and responsibilities. So that's a fairly vague but broad charge, so that your request for Economic Development Commission review and making sure that's compatible with it would exist. I'm sure that's the way the executive branch would administer the program.
I understand what you're saying, and I would hope that to be the case. We're finding, and it's not anybody's fault, it's because there isn't clarified points and specifics. And maybe I'll give you another good example, and this is a personal one. And initially, I was very opposed to the bill because of this. I'm very pro some protection of the gorge and concerned about what happens around me. I have a house that was built in 1916. It's the oldest remaining roadhouse on the Columbia Gorge Highway. So it was built originally known as Forest Hall and then the Maxwell House. Throughout all of its years, up until the past 20 years, it's been a commercial establishment. It was a restaurant, another restaurant, it was a nursing home, so on and so forth. I'm in it, and it's my private home. Sometime in the future, and we keep getting asked to do this sort of thing. We would like to retire, make a bed and breakfast out of it. Mm-hmm. The original, earlier gorge bills, not the one as passed, but actually precluded me from doing that in that if I did it, the government would have been required to come in and condemn the property because of change in use to commercial from residential. Okay? Then, because of the area where I was located, I actually live near Bridalveil, although I have a Corbett address. And Bridalveil area has been targeted for some level of development. I think that's, you know, there's some important things that need to support traffic along the freeway. The Forest Service would have been required to do one of two things: maintain it themselves, or turn around and sell it to somebody else and operate, let it essentially operate as a restaurant. Somebody else could, but I couldn't. The bill was changed, and I was given assurances that that was not the purpose of intent, even though that's what it says. Yet you get some support groups that tell me, well, yep, that's what it says, and then you go to Hatfield or Wyden's office, and they say, oh no, you know, we would not intend to do something like that. Another case in point, somebody who lives in Corbett, this is not even in the special management area, wants to add a bedroom on to her home and make a bed and breakfast. It's out. Does not comply with the plan.
Well, there is no plan now.
Well, I know, but it doesn't comply with what they anticipate the intent to be. There's still supposed to be a review process. And what it says is in the scenic area, there's no industrial and commercial is discouraged. And Corbett is scenic area.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Hannon.